You're listening to WRFI, Watkins Glen, Ithaca. This is the Made of Clay Report, and I'm your host, Eric Clay, and our guest on this episode is Jonathan Petronzio. Jonathan, it's good to have you here this morning.
Great to be here.
Actually, thanks, shall I call you JP?
Yeah.
Is that the better? Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people call me JP.
I was writing down what we'd written down. So JP, the way the show starts is with a big question. Who are you? What do we need to know about the life you aspire to live, the things you've done, the things you value, to start this conversation?
Well, I'm 37-year-old from New Jersey, somewhat a fiery Italian, an introvert, extrovert in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. If we're talking about the right subject, I'll talk your ear off, but otherwise I'd rather quiet or prefer to be. I've been living in Ithaca since 2000.
Sure.
Came here as a music ed and piano performance major up at Ithaca College. And it's my journey has just kind of always had Ithaca as the home base, but
so that's 19 years now.
Yeah, long time. And I guess I sort of always intended to travel or to go and live somewhere else, but I'm a musician. Mm-hmm. Most people that know me in Ithaca would say, oh, JP, yeah, he's the guy that plays the piano or the guitar or the organ. And so have spent many years touring. And I think that's a crucial part of my story is that I've actually been to just about every state, I think minus West Virginia. I don't think there's ever been a reason to go there, but I've every state and territory, sure. Hawaii and Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands, and played music in just about everywhere.
Sure. Sure. So, you brought some of your music with you.
I did.
What should we open with? What do you want to...
We're going to start things off with a song called Daydream, which is a love tune that I wrote. I released a record in December called Midnight Hour. And this has been the last like 4 years of my life coming in song. This is just a happy love tune.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. Here we go.
And I didn't know
You're listening to WRFI, Watkins Glen, Ithaca, and this is the Made of Clay Report. Our guest on this episode is J.P. Petronzio. So, J.P., given the life that you live, the life you value now, and that you aspire to live, what did you have to learn? What kinds of experiences did you have to go through to learn this is what you want to do and this is what you need to do in order to try to be able to do it?
Well, okay. So ever since I can remember, music has been my gift and the thing that just kind of came naturally to me. And when it came time to sort of do my life profession in high school, they say, what do you want to be when you grow up? And, you know, it came time to apply for schools. And I just said, well, you know, I'm going to do the only thing that I've ever really, really excelled at. You know, I tried in sports and everything else, but music was always the thing that, that was the most natural. So, that kind of led me here. And at this point, it's always kind of held a prominent, element in my life. So, after school, you know, I mentioned before, I did just a lot of the touring and traveling and playing music. But then at home here, I'm a piano teacher. Mm-hmm. So to,
you have to make a living.
Yeah. Yeah. And to inspire, I mean, inspire the kids and adults. I mean, I've kids that range from six to, you know, all the way up.
Oh yeah. As well as adults that you're teaching.
Yeah. 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 And so that's, just a huge part of every day. You know, I have right around, 38 students right now.
Wow.
So it's a lot. And yeah, it's a full-time gig. And I absolutely love it. Me and my partner, Regina, we bought a house in town, on the south side, about a year ago.
Sure, sure.
Was able to take an old beat up garage, 1860 house, you know, so it was like a carriage house, you know.
Yeah.
It's got a vaulted ceiling, and we put some, you know, we just made it into my studio, and that's where I teach now. It's wonderful. I love being in there and working with all the kids and stuff. So that's
So you followed your love to Ithaca College to study music,
mm-hmm.
and then you had to figure out how to make a living.
Yep.
So yeah. What happened?
So I joined a band with my buddies. I didn't even know them at first, but I heard that
they were looking for somebody.
They were looking for a keyboardist, and as a primarily classical major, I'd always been sort of geared more towards ear playing, mm-hmm. not reading as much, and improvised styles, jazz and ragtime and blues and stuff. So I heard they were looking for somebody. I joined the band. It was called Revision. Some people will know that name, and because we played for about 10 years, mm-hmm. And essentially when we graduated from school, we lost all of that. All the kids left, you know.
Sure.
So kind of have that crop. It goes away. So we just hit the road. We got a booking agency when I was a junior in college, and we just hit the road. We literally just we played and played and played. You know. Got a vegetable oil van eventually, and back when that was still possible, I think it's still being done.
But, but it was a big thing.
A big thing. So that was kind of the beginning of my life as a touring musician based in Ithaca, which is quite mm-hmm. quite ideal. You know, you look at there's the upstate New York sort of satellite, Syracuse, Rochester, Binghamton, and Buffalo, and then you go out to the next tier, and you got Boston and New York and Philly and mm-hmm. DC. You know, so there's
Baltimore.
A lot of great places within striking distance of here. So it's a good place to be a touring musician. So that kind of became my identity for a really long time. I guess, you know, kind of going down the line, mm-hmm. That kind of ran its course.
And what was its course?
I think it was for me personally, it was a process of learning how to write, how to experience, that was really a lot of my life experience, and learning how to transmute those experiences into song.
Sure.
And a lot, I wrote a lot of songs that I wouldn't really share now, you know, because you know, that's a side of me that's had to, you know, endure some maturity, and you got to write a lot of songs before you can get to some good ones. Sometimes people get lucky on the first couple.
Right, rare, but also you when you say it ran its course, I imagine that you were also living in ways. When you're living on the road, the biggest story about that, it's exciting for a while,
right?
And then it's just work, right. And then it's just beyond drudgery.
Right. Yeah. It's hard. It's tough. You know, and you know, not just kind of being around the party all the time. It's like, it's really not about that after mm-hmm. a while. You know, anybody who really hits the road will eventually kind of face that. What am I doing out here? You know,
and what did you find?
Well, when you faced that? You know, I loved the guys I was with, and I think, you know, every band is like a marriage, you know, and yep. and it's a covenant relationship. I used to describe it as like, okay, get your three best friends or two best friends and go sit in the closet for 10 hours uh-huh. right now.
Yeah,
just go sit there. And maybe you can listen to music and talk and just right. stare at the, you know, stare at the window, stare at the wall, you know, like
don't look each other in the eye too much.
It's just like go into the most deeply personal experience mm-hmm. of this travel and adventure, you know. Mm-hmm, sure. And it was great. It was great. We had such a wonderful time.
But when it stopped working for you, what stopped?
You know, I think it just ran its course. I wanted to have my own voice, mm-hmm. Ultimately, and I didn't know what that meant at the time.
Part of growing up is kind of finding your peeps.
Yeah.
And then within their voice, you find strength for your own voice, but then you got to step out.
That's right. That's right. And I think I knew I had started to write the Roadman song. So my project is called Roadman, and mm-hmm. And so I started to write that material, but I didn't have a project name yet. That didn't come until around 2015. So about 9 years on the road with those guys, and that we just kind of decided that that was going to end. And I ran into Elliot Martin from John Brown's Body uh-huh. at a 4th of July barbecue. And I said, hey, you know, my gig is kind of ending now. I'm looking for something else. And so I hit the road with John Brown's Body, and 7 years with those guys.
Sure.
So more road time at a bit of a higher level. So across the spectrum of those, you know, 2,500 shows,
right.
It's like, you know, I played the diviest of the dive for no one, and then I think the pinnacle was playing probably Red Rocks, sold out Red Rocks.
Uh huh.
So, and all that travel and all that experience to sort of come back home. Mm-hmm. to a family life, less touring now these days. Mm-hmm. I have a baby boy. He's going to be 2 in July.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
His name's Onyx, and he's my life now. Yeah. You know, and so like my music is, you know, I have my teaching component, and I have my roadman component, which is still my core passion, I think.
The Roadman piece. Gets a piece of you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's the music that we're playing today, and of course being a family man and being here for my students. But that this music is kind of like what I'm going to continue to write for him and with him, you sure. know, ultimately, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, and you can't front load it too much,
right?
Yeah, it's can't push because and they may go a different direction,
right?
As you went a different direction from your family, you're not where you came from,
right?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, what should we play next?
Let's play what I think is the title track from the record is Midnight Hour, which I wrote over the course of. It was a long write, but lyrically is sort of about people who are struggling, about people who are addicted or being bullied and who are sick and struggling, and sort of as a message to my friends and family and or from God, perhaps.
Sure.
It's not really defined, but that that I'm there for them, and or that God is there for them, and well, that's one of the beauties of music, is you can sort of find the meaning in it yourself.
Right, right. And you can also just put that little boat out on the water and it's going to go wherever it goes.
That's right.
Cancer spreading, diagnosis says it's no longer benign. Getting down upon your knees, you hope and praying for a sign. Asking for a little miracle, not ready yet to die.
You're listening to WRFI, Watkins Glen, Ithaca. This is the Made of Clay Report. Our guest on this episode is JP Petronzio. So JP, I want to go back to some of this transition stuff that we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
How long ago did you kind of stop touring with John Brown's Body?
It was New Year's 2018, so.
So recently, yeah.
Yeah, the New Year's Eve of 2018. So,
right.
I don't know if I said that right.
Yeah,
so, yeah, right, no, year right, and a half. Right. So,
yeah, yeah, yeah. And what gave you the clarity or the desire to? I mean, that would have been right after your son was born.
About 6 months or so.
Yeah, yeah.
That was part of the reason for I was gonna whether John Brown's Body stopped or not, I was going to bow out,
mm-hmm.
just because I want to be here while my son grows up, and I've done enough of that touring, right?
Sure,
like we talked
sure.
about. So, so that was sort of the slowdown for the traveling stuff, and
it was a clear choice for you.
Yeah, 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 an obvious choice and a welcomed one, you mm-hmm. know. The baby came, and we played a few more shows through that fall, and then here we were. You know, now I'm at that point. It just was sort of opened up some more opportunities for more local based collaborations, mm-hmm. and such, and that has led me over to Calvary Baptist Church. Back in 2010, right in that transition before when Revision ended,
right.
And John Brown's Body started.
Right. And the music that you're not performing anymore, you've been writing.
Yeah.
changed.
Yes. I was sort of feeling like I grew up in a Christian home and a strong family unit. And so I always had kind of had that component missing here in town. And one day I just was compelled to go. I tried different churches out, and I went into Calvary, which is right over by GIAC on North Albany Street. And I walked in there, and it was just the most phenomenal organ playing happening.
Uh-huh.
And I found out later that it was Corey Henry. He was just he plays with a band called Snarky Puppy, and he's kind of become like a real flagship player for the Hammond organ and gospel and neo soul music. I mean, we're talking about like. This guy's an alien. He's so good.
Uh-huh.
And he was playing there that day, which most anybody who knows who that is would say, get out of here. You know,
what are the chances?
I walked into just the most insane thing. And one of the, I said, you know, that when you go there, they have you stand up and introduce yourself. So I stood up and I said, you know, hi, I'm JP, and I play the organ, not like that, but I joined over there. I started. He was only visiting, so they actually did need an organist. So, I started to play organ there about 6 months, and then I joined John Brown's Body, which then pulled me away from that. So, coming back around full circle when John Brown's Body ended, and I said, okay, well, that's kind of my church home. So, but this time now I had my partner Regina and the baby as well.
Sure,
you know, dedicated him over there and so that's our sort of church family here in town, and it's been fantastic. You know, we have rehearsals every Thursday and church service on Sundays at 11, and it's a kind of the place where I really get to shine and give my gifts.
Sure,
I play. I guess over the years, kind of organ has become the thing that I'm known for, even though piano was my starting instrument. In Revision, I played left-hand bass and organ, and then in John Brown's Body, organ was certainly a big part of it.
Sure,
I am a piano teacher, but I play in a band called The Comb Down right now, which features me on the organ.
Uh-huh.
And so doing the organ at church, sort of accompanying this big choir and these larger-than-life voices, and my buddy Mike McCoy on the drums. It's just the most rocking church service you can imagine. I mean, it is a blast. We have such a good time. So, that's been a really, really wonderful unfolding, in now this, you know, year and change since the touring life has ended.
Right, right. Earlier you mentioned that you're kind of this mix of extrovert, introvert, and how has your, and it's, you're not just settling into being a father, you're also a partner, husband, and mm-hmm. how and you wanted to move to make this move to more spiritual Christian connection. How has your presence in the world, how has your understanding of yourself changed in that process?
In a sense, everybody's kind of has to go through a prodigal son or daughter, buck the system and go out and experience the world a bit,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and push your limits, which I have done plenty of.
Right.
To kind of arrive at the understanding of your faith, you can't keep it too safe. You gotta test it a little bit.
Right. Or a lot.
Yeah. And I think I have. And to grow up in the church is good. I mean, it instills morals and it can gave me a compass. So I always knew kind of my right from wrong. But through that sort of journey, I guess music has always kind of held me through. When I was growing up, you know, I saw all sorts of things in the church, you know, just mm-hmm. different ways of worshiping, you know. And I never really felt really in tune or connected in that way. I don't raise my hands. I don't sort of worship everybody has their own way.
Right.
And my way is music.
Right.
And I never realized that. I had to use my hands to play in this way. It's kind of cool. You just never know where the journey's really leading you, you know?
Right. And I think what you're describing, just to kind of take a moment to comment on that,
mm-hmm.
When we've had particularly strong institutional or formally organized experiences, that makes us need to rebel even more.
Right.
I grew up in a congregation that was very short on institution and organization and a great deal mm-hmm. emphasis on priesthood of all believers and freedom mm-hmm. within that community. And the doors were unlocked and I could walk in there on Saturday at lunchtime when I was working at the grocery store, and I could walk around and sing, and I could sit down and chord on the piano and plunk around and I could dance if I wanted to, and it was just fine. And, right. and I could consider other ideas and bring people into that space because nobody was scared. Right. They didn't have anything to protect.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're in a congregation or a community that's a little more sheltering, sometimes the rebellion is a little more intense.
Yeah.
But what it helps you do is become a whole person.
Mm-hmm.
And in the shelter of that institution, it often stymies the development of that person who is strong and resolute and able to be flexible as well.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I hear in your music. That's where it just comes out.
Yeah. Yeah. I think in gospel music in particular too, there's a lot of movement of the spirit.
Sure.
Quite literally. And you could practice and prepare all you want, but the spirit's going to lead.
What happens in the moment.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. And how did you migrate into gospel music, or did you start there?
I learned some. I mean, gospel is sort of the full sprint of jazz.
Sure.
I would say, you know, jazz is the adding of stuff between the stuff. If pop music is a 1-6-4-5 progression, which we hear ad nauseum
these days.
You know, gospel is 1-7-7-6 6-5-5-4. Yeah, I mean, again, it's all of it, everything. So I guess growing up, I had got a lot of jazz. I had studied with a phenomenal jazz teacher. I miss him. He still teaches down in New Jersey. As far as I know, I think he does. But yeah. he was a huge influence on me, which is again one of the reasons why I love to teach, you know, and do what he did for me and do that for others.
Sure.
But yeah, I took a liking to ragtime music.
Which
again is, you know, it's a precursor of jazz and taking stride hand piano. I you know, one of the stories I like to tell is I grew up at the Jersey Shore, going summers down there, and there was a player piano in an ice cream shop, and it would break down, and they would call me in whenever it would to play. And when I realized that I could, you know, as a kid, you know, I was 12 years old, I think I knew like 6 Joplin songs, and I would just crush it, like $100 an hour, you know, obviously the prime time hours weren't that long, but I was, you know, for a 12-year-old to make that kind of bank, it was pretty exciting, and going there and do my, you know, 6 stride hand tunes and make up a couple, and then the turnover at ice cream place is fast. So to answer your question, I mean, I got a lot of blues, a lot of ragtime with that teacher. And then to play in Revision, which was a funk band, and then reggae with John Brown's Body, and it all refers to the same language. To come back around to gospel has been a really great education. Every week, you know, when I first started over at Calvary, we were probably, you know, learning 3-4 new tunes every week. And now it's gotten a little easier because I think we've over 150 songs, so we're,
you got a repertoire. You know,
so we don't have to be learning 3 or 4 new tunes every week. At a certain point, you kind of, you know, so it's nice. Now I'm in a good place. Like, we learn 1 or 2 every you know, week or so.
Yeah. You have a home.
Yeah. You know, a thing that's really, you know, resonates a lot with me is connection, you know. Social media is false digital pacifier, and it doesn't connect it does connect people in a certain way, but I think it leaves us feeling more disconnected after a while. You can only scroll through so many pictures of happiness,
right? And you can only have things that are written. What you need are facial expressions that change, and direct connection and responsiveness that you can't get in that way, but we oftentimes don't know how to go there,
right?
And it's safer in some ways, at a distance.
It definitely
and
is.
Even if you, I mean, yeah. How have you changed in ways you would not have anticipated or necessarily chosen, but it's worked out, you know, or how has life worked out in ways that you didn't anticipate?
Well, okay, so, you know, we've talked a bit about my son, and it bears mentioning the story of how he came to be. It starts like this. My friend Craig is a wonderful friend of mine. He's lived in town on and off for years. He's a Diné Indian, and he had heard about Standing Rock. This is right around
2016.
Yeah, 2015, 2016. And he said, "Hey, you heard about the Standing Rock thing? I'm trying to raise money. I'm going out there. I want to go help support." And he said, "Would you come play this benefit for me?" I said, "Yeah, I'd love to. That sounds great." Did the benefit for him, and he was leaving the next day. We did it at the Kava Bar. It was a Sunday. He left on a Monday.
Wow.
And there was a seat open in his car, and Regina went with him. She was my partner. She's my everything. And so I was quite worried about her being in a kind of a hostile environment in a confrontation with police. But she was okay, you know. But it was that chapter sort of brought me into this sort of new experience of activism and helping the natives out there. And, you know, my job, and I joined Craig out there and doing it, was sorting donations. I as a teacher, I didn't really, I wasn't really trying to go and get arrested.
Right.
But I was just going to offer my hands.
Assistance.
And, yeah. Sort clean. And Regina was there cooking and running the kitchen, and at least for a little bit. And So, you know, to kind of cut to the chase, I mean, that was a magical and truly inspiring experience. Hard, really mm-hmm. hard. Some of the things that we witnessed there. And,
what was hard?
It's hard to have somebody pointing a rifle at you at all times. Mm-hmm. It's hard to feel also airplanes flying around, which now we've proven that they were crop dusting us essentially with chemicals. To truly become aligned with the oppressed. Mm-hmm. And face the injustices that have been done to this, what Craig had referred to me as damaged people. You know, they're hurt. And why shouldn't anyone and everyone fight for their right to clean water? You know, it was compelling. And it was compelling for a lot of people. There's a reason that all happened. And it's still happening. It's still Standing Rock didn't end.
Right.
To me and to many. It's still going. There's a lot of spiritual movement that happened there. You know, there are things that I can't really share, but I can say that there were volatile, aggressive, and I mean downright evil things done by some men mm-hmm. in positions of power because they had that power mm-hmm. and or were just doing their job.
Quote, and I'm assuming representatives of the state.
Sure. Let's call it that. Let's call it that. Or the protectors of the profits.
Right. The industry.
The industry. Yeah. The corporation.
Yeah.
It was unprecedented because we had the National Guard, the Army Corps, mm-hmm. and a private contracting company protecting a corporation over the American people. And, you know, I think that was a part of the difficulty too, was that we felt that no one was paying attention. Right. No, we broke through, but it only took it until it got a little violent or there were some fires mm-hmm. lit.
Right.
That the media would finally give us the attention we deserved.
Right.
But it was wholly a prayerful protest.
Right.
It was peaceful. Right. On the natives' part. You know, sure there was some conflict in the camps and stuff, but you know, that's anything, you know.
Right.
Any
right.
organization's gonna have some, well, we, you know, certain people think we should do this and certain people should do that, and you kind of you gotta figure it out somehow.
Right.
It was a whole lot going on all the time, you know.
No, and I hear that. And one of the things that we forget at our peril is that for Western governments, the first, if not the second, if not the first purpose of the government is the protection of private property.
Mm.
And that's where we are naive if we don't, you know, don't come to terms with that fact. And so that we have to be in tension with our government. Our mm-hmm. government is not our community,
mm-hmm.
and in community we are as human beings equal, and mm-hmm. we can't. And the whole notion of rights is to try to create a safe space within an institution,
mm-hmm.
but that's all. Mm-hmm. That's all within the institution, but as a community, we have to face each other and deal with that kind of conflict
yep.
that happened in the camps, but also could have happened and probably did informally with some of the local residents that were not native.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it could, if the press and if the people involved could honor those conflicts and those relationships that don't involve the corporate protection of property right. by the government.
It was good to watch. It was good to observe, right. to be an observer for sure. all of it. And kind of what I had said about introvert, expert, like
sure.
in that particular case, I was very introverted.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It was a very much a show up, offer your hands and shut up, get out right. of the way. You know, don't speak. Don't speak unless you're asked to speak.
Right.
And
right.
don't sing or don't, you know, it was just as a white person in mm-hmm. that place.
In solidarity.
I was just in solidarity, and that's what Regina yeah. really stressed too.
Sure.
And let me know, which mm-hmm. was very helpful.
Right.
You know, to have somebody who'd already been there and say, like, listen, you know, like, you can do a lot of good, but just do so, lead with your heart. That's the thing that she right. tells me all yeah. the time.
Lead relationally, not yeah. not yeah. issue wise.
Yeah, it's not about you.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
about something much bigger.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I know Onyx is a stone, it's a protector stone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We discovered was our spiritual birthstones, Regina and I. Okay. So his name's Onyx River. So he's the protector of the river, you know. And he comes from Standing Rock, so that's our little Standing Rock baby.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Cool. That yeah. is a very neat story.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Onyx has that liquid glass,
mm-hmm.
you know, that quality of when it's polished or when it's clear. It's mm-hmm. just incredible.
Yeah.
Totally. What should we play next?
Well, let's play The Other Side. This is a song, it's a political song, and it comes from the frustration that we experienced out there.
Come along, step right this way.
You're listening to WRFI, Watkins Glen, Ithaca. This is the Made of Clay Report. Our guest on this episode is J.P. Patronzio. So J.P., the way I like to close out the show, and we've got about 10, 15 minutes left,
okay.
Is what do you do to take care of yourself? And and when did you, but probably even before that is, and emotionally, intellectually, physically, you know, as a musician, you have some entrees into that other people don't. But also, when did you learn that one of your major functions in life was to take care of yourself? That's an ongoing process. Some of us don't learn until we're 60.
Some of us learn when
we're 6 or 5, you know?
Yeah. It's a good question. I think I have kind of dealt with some, in full honesty, over the years, I've kind of gone through these phases of being incredibly physically fit and then doing nothing after I've like had fallen out of it and feel like, God, I'm such a slacker.
And you can do that for a few more years, but once you get too far past 40, right. It gets really hard to recover.
Right. I've struggled with addiction to tobacco over the years. Use that as a crutch, and as you can probably imagine, smoking and running don't really mix. So right. That's something that not a lot of people know. So I'm being, pretty honest about it. I haven't been smoking for a couple months now, and it feels really good. It's kind of time,
right?
I've seen a lot of. You get older, you lose people. We've seen a lot of people go, and now my son is here.
Right.
So I can't.
The birth of my daughter helped me to kind of finally cut the smoking habit.
Yeah. And I love smoking. It's great. But I wish it wasn't bad for you, but it is. And heart disease runs in my family, and it's time to choose what the my son over myself and my. My little thing, and right. so like now I got my dad bod going on. It's spring. It's a good time to reassess the goals. And so I got challenged to CrossFit the other day. I'm thinking about that seriously. My friend Ryan goes there, and so I might. Go back into my super awesome fit, mode again, and hopefully hold on to it for a lot longer this time. But in a spiritual sense, I would say that to use the name Roadman for my project,
sure.
Which is it's a native term for a medicine man. And not something to be taken lightly, which is a component and the reason why I went to Standing Rock and to take that name really seriously. And one of the rights to becoming a roadman, is to do vision quests. And so I've done one. I plan to do more. It was the single greatest gift I ever gave to myself. That was 4 days, no food or water, and just tending a fire. And literally, I'd say, as I sit here and advocate on the radio to do something like that, I say to do that very intentionally and safely. It's no joke, but it is. At coming out of the end of a properly held ceremony with a native elder, that was one of the most rewarding things I've ever done. To be outside, I was 33 at the time, and it was the first time I'd ever been outside that long. First time I'd ever watched the sun and moon go around, to tend a fire that long, right. To be alone that long,
sure.
To not eat that long, to not drink that long.
To be in virtual silence for that long.
Yep. And I came out of that feeling like a newborn all over again. Mm-hmm. It was truly wonderful. And to silence my mind, my egoic mind, my musical mind, was was really, again, one of the greatest gifts I ever gave to myself. So that's kind of an ongoing thing that I look forward to very much getting back to.
Sure.
Again, you know, to take a week off from family is going to be a little harder now, but I'm sure that as my son gets a little older and capable, and we'll be able to carve away that time.
Right. And self-care is also a team project.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
My lady cooked me up a beautiful breakfast this morning before I came in, you know? So,
right.
She's my rock, you know, she really is, supports and feeds me maybe a little too well sometimes, but that's what we're getting at here.
No, well, but also you cover for each other, you take care of each other, and then you take up the slack when the other is down or needs, you know?
Right. It's a beautiful give and take.
Yeah. Yeah. And that describes a covenant or a marriage relationship.
Right.
Yeah. So, you've described how you took care of yourself physically and how you kind of stripped your ego by being in this environment where all you did was tend to fire for 4 days.
Yeah.
How do you, and that creates, I mean, that kind of stripping away the senses and stripping away the mind does create kind of a blank slate from which you can be reborn or have a newness of life.
Yeah.
I think it's a very pretty, and there are many ways to do it. In many different traditions for doing it, but it happens. You talked about taking care of your body, but how do you take care of your emotions and how do you take care of your mind?
I find it hard these days, you know, again, in moments of honesty, I think I'd say I'm become addicted to the news cycle.
Uh-huh.
Which is pretty, pretty tough. I don't think it's natural, you know.
Right.
With a phone, you know.
But the counterpoint to the news cycle is a toddler and a spouse.
That's right.
And emotionally, they're going to pull you in other ways.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it these days. I think my hope is to stay informed and let that news cycle run my life as little as possible. I'm finding great joy and in the wonder of my son. What's that? Right. What's that? Right. What's this? What's this? And and kind of getting back on their level. I have this really great men's group that just started up recently, which to answer that question, sure, you know, sure. Kind of balancing out your mind. That's become a really great thing for me. Is
this the New Warriors group or?
It is not. No, we don't have a name. Just a friend of mine called some friends together. But a chance to kind of just come together with other men and just talk it out. You know what's going on.
Yeah.
You know that I found is really great therapy that doesn't have to feel like a therapy session. You know.
Yeah. Over the last 15 months, I've started 2 men's groups.
Oh, is that
there
right?
There is that amount of need for, and there's even much more.
Again, it's that connection thing, you know, that the media, the social media doesn't really give us I can look you in the eye.
And the news cycle is more like dog whistles or red meat. I mean, it's not really content.
It's very alarmist and it'll keep you up, you know?
Yeah. If you let it.
If you let it, yeah. And it's hard not to, you know, you gotta kind of protect yourself in that way. So, you know, I kind of lost my train of thought, but I think the
relationships help to center you.
Yeah. Yeah. It really, for me lately, it's come down to, my son, you know, it's so wonderful to get to relive my childhood again through his, what a gift,
right?
You know,
right.
And it's hard. Don't get me wrong,
right?
But it is the most rewarding hard ever, and it's exactly what everybody told me.
Right, and the emotional bonding is absolutely critical. And then before you know it, you will be emotionally releasing because he will need to grow up and be free of you.
That's right.
And you will need to be free of him.
Right.
And it's a beautiful and painful and wondrous cycle.
He's already his own little dude. He does what he wants to do. I mean, well, we try to keep him in line, but
within limits.
Right, yeah.
And what do you, how do you seek information that you wouldn't know, or perspectives that you wouldn't necessarily? How do you intellectually renew yourself?
You know,
and it may not be.
I find that these days as a dad, the extracurricular time, if you will, has become so few and far between that if I have any time to read a book or watch a documentary, it's rare, you know. And oftentimes I would fill those gaps in with writing music or recording music for other people or, you know, being an engineer, you know.
Right. And sometimes in a men's group, you can hear ideas or perspectives that you would not have been exposed to if the group is diverse enough.
Yeah. Yes. And I think that the men's group is another way that it's sort of like when you can carve out that hour or two to say intentionally, I'm going to do this thing, you know, that makes all the difference in the world. Like me doing CrossFit, I could say, all right, I'm going to get up and go for a run this morning, but that run might happen a half hour later or might not happen at all, or might not be as driven, right? As if it was interactional, you know, with other people and community again. Yeah.
No. JP, it's been wonderful to get to know you.
Indeed. Thanks, Eric.
What should we close the show with? What music should we close?
Well,
your call.
I think if my lady's listening, we'll play the song for her.
Sure. What are we going to play?
After all, we're talking about Onyx, and so she's the giver of the gift. This is Can't Get Over You. This is the song that I wrote for her.
Can't get over you. Can't get over you. Can't get over you. So I guess I'll just have to go around. Never thought in the whole wide world I would ever find a girl that would be so perfectly matched in heaven and forging destiny. And ain't it a mystery how it grew and came to be? I can tell you honestly, I love you madly, would you say I do? Don't you worry, 'cause everything's gonna be alright. Don't go crazy. It's always darkest before the light. It's why I'm still right next to you. I'm still right next to you. Can't get I'll just have to go around. Moving silently on the banks of the rolling sea. Waves lapping quietly and lulls us until we fall asleep. I hold you in my arms. Gonna keep you safe. safe and warm. Never let harm come to you. Be a shelter when life will bring a storm. Don't you worry, 'cause everything's gonna be alright. Don't go crazy, it's always darkest before the light. That's why I'm still right next to you. You look so cute when you sleep, baby. I stare at you for a week, or maybe more. Don't say a word, you don't speak. Finish my sentence for me, honey. I get so weak in the knees, baby. Every time I